talking about home with Jesus. I can wait as far as going home to West Jeff and Miller Acre, but I'm ready to go home and be with the Lord. So glad for all who are here. A couple more downstairs going to make it up. A couple more on the road still coming in. But we'll go ahead and start singing. Page 72 in the hymn book. Tell me the story of Jesus.
Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever.
Let us find our rest in thee.
receiveth sinful men. That would be us.
Sinners, Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all who the heavenly pathway leave. All who linger, all who fall, sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receive a sinful man. Make the man
by verse in 1 Timothy, but for the lawless is the title. I can't do it. Start laughing. Wah, wah, wah. That's what I was going for. It's hard to whistle when you're laughing. You ever try to do that?
It's hard.
You guys learn to whistle? A little bit. I was always jealous. Had a couple friends like John Collins. He could whistle with his fingers like that. You could hear him a mile away, man. I tried and tried and tried, and I never could get that.
My dad taught me.
Don't do it now. Ain't that right, Jim?
No, not
that.
Not that, just
that. Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You taught me how.
Well, sometimes we're outside, I'll have you do that and demonstrate.
Okay. You can do the
lava one? Thankful for hot coffee, amen?
I've got tea this time.
Tea'll do in a pinch.
Tea'll do.
All right. Don't talk over the speaker or the video clips. And hold your questions and comments to the end of... Business update. Start with Israel at 4. Today's day 7/17/24. And day 225. It's been 9 months, more than 9 months, since the October 7, 2023 attacks by Hamas on Israel. Still 120 hostages, with 50 or more believed to be deceased. Families released a before and in captivity photo of 5 different female soldiers being held, and the before and captivity pictures are quite different on a couple of them. Nehama Levy, this is Daniela Gilboa, Agam Berger, Liri Alba, and Karina Aria. And you don't have to remember all those names. God knows every one of those names.
Amen.
But you can pray for them.
Amen.
We pray they're kept safe.
No,
pray they're
no,
still
no,
alive. Pray that they then are freed. And we pray they get saved.
Amen. Amen.
That they and so many Jews that don't know Jesus as their Messiah, as far as I know, none of them make a profession of faith. The Israeli team arrives in Cairo for hostage talks, as top brass said to warn time running out. This is something to pray about. Ministers say conditions are ripe for a hostage deal, which I don't really buy. Sadly, Gallant reportedly says if no deal is reached in the next 2 weeks, the abductee's fate is sealed. Those are his words. So, something to pray about. Meanwhile, Hamas is being decimated by the IDF, Israel Defense Forces. This is a chart put out on I-24 News, and I'm not going to go through all the names or anything, but just by looking, you see the red sign over the ones that have been eliminated. Half of them. And they also put this chart out. 14,000 terrorists apprehended or eliminated. And these are the various rankings of the men that have been taken out. So they're making a lot of headway. Meanwhile, Hezbollah is pushing for all-out war to the north. This is Nasrallah. He's the leader of Hezbollah. And he's threatened to expand the range of attacks after more than 100 rockets fired at Israel. So he fired 100 rockets. And then said, there's more coming and we're going to hit more places we haven't shot at yet. And that's what kind of, you know, we're not hoping for, but we're watching for an escalation and the possible Gog Magog war. And so those are all things leaning in that direction. And you look at the map and all the places where things kind of have blown up and then settled down, blown up and settled down, they just haven't quite gone through the roof yet. That's why we remind you to memorize Psalm 122:6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that they shall prosper and love it.
Amen.
We stand with Israel. Amen.
Amen.
Number two, of course, we spend our time in Current Events Update Sunday talking about the terrible assassination attempt on Donald Trump, and we continue to thank God for sparing Donald Trump's life. There's a couple of videos that were put out. They're very interesting. If you watch this, you see there, they've got the crosshairs of where that bullet would have went, and him by turning his head and tilting like that.
Just at that moment.
You just wonder if you might you had that multi-dimensional vision, if you could see an angel pushing his head over out of the way. But here's another one. And you see the line there is where the bullet would have hit if he hadn't turned his head. See that? So there's where it starts. If he stood right there, imagine how different our world would be right now if that had happened. Now, I'd say this just as a matter of fact. I'm not trying to be mean. Only an imbecile would have left that roof unsecured the way it was.
Mine was secured, of course.
It takes a special level of dumb. And then we're supposed to believe that the cream of the crop Secret Service did that based on best practices. There's no way. This is the DEI hire as head of the Secret Service named Kimberly Cheadle. She says the roof was too dangerous to have occupied by Secret Service. Have you seen that?
Should that roof have been secure, period?
That building in particular has a sloped roof at its highest point. And so, you know, there's a safety factor that would be considered there, that we wouldn't want to put somebody up on a sloped roof. And so, you know, the decision was made to secure the building from inside.
You don't want to endanger the Secret Service by putting them on a building with a sloped roof? That does look sloped. And I checked, it's not because of the camera being held sideways. That's a sloped roof. Now, this is the roof she's talking about. It's too steep for snipers, but it's safe for water hose and cleansing of evidence. He's on that roof. He doesn't look like he's worried. Doesn't look dangerous to me. I think you were more in danger on top of that travel trailer than this guy is, to be honest with you. There's the White House on that slope roof that's sloped about two or three times the slope of the roof she's talking about. We have snipers on that roof every day.
I put a roof on like a building that's transferred.
This is an actual cow on a sloped roof. And it's a bigger slope than the roof she's talking about. Now, based on all this evidence, there's two choices we have. Number one, Kimberly Cheadle is mentally retarded. I'm not being mean. I'm telling you the truth. You have to believe that woman is mentally retarded, or this was a purposeful attempt to kill Donald J. Trump. I am convinced that it was a purposeful... Now, I'm not telling you I know all the facts. I'm just telling you that I think it takes a special level of suspended mental capacity to look at the evidence that we have about that shooting and believe that the Keystone cops now are our Secret Service. That's the level of stupidity it took if this was not on purpose. I don't believe that for a minute. And we'll have more to say about that. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time because I know a lot of you guys are watching this stuff. But also, in talking to people, realize there's a lot of information not getting out of there. And so I'll share what I have when I have it. Finally, I just want to give you this kind of a more uplifting thing here. Woke backlash. We continue to see good news from large companies. Remember Tractor Supply? We told you about them. This is John Deere. They sent out this letter. I don't know if it's yesterday or the day before, but it's very recently. I'll blow it up there at the bottom in the summary. It says, we will no longer participate in or support external social or cultural awareness parades, festivals, or events. In other words, the pride stuff is out.
Amen.
Then jump down to the third one there. Auditing all company-mandated training materials and policies to ensure the absence of socially motivated messages while being in compliance with federal, state, local laws. Of course, we want them to be in compliance with the laws. We don't want them promoting Sodom.
Amen.
How many of you, I worked for the state of Ohio, going back however many now years ago it was, and in training we had to take diversity training. And if I was going to get fired, that's when it would have happened. But I didn't sit there and just take it. And one lady got up there telling everybody basically that if you don't agree with the homosexual lifestyle or whatever, you have to keep that to yourself. Yes, sir. You just lied to everybody in this room. I think it was around 2012, 2010, sometime. And I turned around to the room. I said, just ignore what she just said. When you walk in this building, you do not check in your human rights. You do not check in your rights as an American. And if someone comes to you and says, what do you believe about homosexuality? If you believe it's a sin, you're allowed to say so. Amen. You're allowed to give them the scripture.
Amen.
If you're not allowed to go around proselytizing, you're not allowed to go around preaching to people, but if you're asked a question, you are not a slave.
Amen.
And it's just sad because a lot of what they've gotten by with in this country is because people don't read their Bible.
Right.
And the Bible says that we should obey God rather than man. Acts chapter 5. And people have decided, no, I'm going to cower and act like I don't believe in God. I'm going to act like an atheist, fearing those who can kill the body and not fearing the one who can kill the body and soul in hell.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean you go around trying to pick fights. I'm telling you, though, when they come at you, you stand. And trust God.
Amen.
See how He works it out. They also then said in the next to the last one, reaffirming within the business that the existence of diversity quotas and pronoun identification have never been and are not company policy.
Amen.
So people were putting their pronouns in their emails and stuff and doing that stuff, but that wasn't John Deere policy. And now they're going to make sure everybody understands that we do it. And so we applaud John Deere.
Amen.
On the other hand, California, this devil with skin just signed a bill, AB 1955 today, which bans schools from making rules requiring parental notification if a child identifies as transgender. In other words, they're telling you the state owns your child. Mm-hmm. And when your child comes to school, if they go against your rules, they're going to protect that child and they're not going to tell you what's going on. That's why this Libs of TikTok account said, get your kids out of public schools. Amen, amen.
Amen.
But in response, Elon Musk said, this is the final straw. Because of this law and the many others that preceded it, attacking both families and companies, SpaceX will now move its headquarters from Hawthorne, California to Starbase, Texas.
Wow.
Yeah.
Definitely a better name for a place for SpaceX. Starbase.
Yeah, closer to.
And then he later said, oh, and X headquarters will move to Austin.
Yeah.
From San Francisco.
Wow.
So the insanity of the sodomite LGBTQ plus community is obvious to those paying attention. We're talking about, of course, people who believe the Bible, you've read Romans chapter 1. You've read Leviticus 18. You know what the Bible says about it and all the other passages as well. But there's a lot of people out there who don't go to church where they actually teach the Bible. And if you talk to them, they've never read the Bible.
Yeah.
The mass majority of professing Christians have never read the Bible.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure they've read, you know, those positive affirmation verses. You know, where I know the thoughts I have, you know, and all that kind of thing. And the ones that say things like, you're wonderful, you know, and all that. But they don't actually read the Bible. They treat the Bible like a cookbook. You've heard me say this before, but it's like a cookbook. I want to feel like this today, and there's a verse over here. Oh, there it is. That'll make me feel how I want to feel today. That's how they read the Bible.
Yeah.
Well, they, a lot of them are really coming
out of the closet.
Because they're seeing, man, this is worse than, you know, there's a time when they said, just let us get married. That's all we want. Before that, it was, just leave us alone. Just don't, you know, harass us. Now, fast forward to where we are, and it's just going to get worse until enough people say, that's enough. Well, this, I just want to play this for you, because I found this. This is the truth. These in that community will blame you and me as Christians. We're the reason they're miserable. And they'll say it's because we don't openly embrace and accommodate their sin. But if you talk to them, you get to know them, you'll hear something like you're here for this girl.
There's so much trans hate in the world right now, and I'm so done with it. And pride just means that we are unabashedly happy just to be alive.
Yeah. And now, where do you personally feel that hate is coming from?
Most places, but especially the government.
And in your own life, where would you say that you feel the hate the most?
I feel like I kind of internalized a lot of the hate, so it feels like it mostly comes from myself at this point.
Yeah. That's biblical. That's Bible right there. If you choose rebellion against God, then you will hate your own flesh. All this attempt at this self-esteem garbage that's being taught, it's to try to get around the Bible and tell people they can be satisfied with themselves apart from God. It's exactly what it's about. You don't need to face your sinful nature and repent and be born again. Just learn to love yourself. And so what these churches around here, what do they preach? Come as you are. We accept you as you are. Well, of course, we'd let them in as they are, but we don't want them to stay the way they are.
Amen.
Come as you are. Be born again. Be regenerated. Be a new creature.
Amen.
That's our message. So, now this thing's going to mess up. When you give in to sin, you hate what you become. How many of you have been there?
Yeah.
Giving in to sin, and you're like, just can't stand to look in the mirror.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of it. There's a fella said that I think it was D. James Kennedy. You remember him?
Yeah.
Some of you old enough remember him. And he said that he talked to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist said, the reason why, he said, this was the psychiatrist who said, at least 75% of his patients were there because of guilt.
Amen. Amen.
And they couldn't get over things they had said and done. And of course, they weren't willing to turn to God. So where did they turn? Usually drugs, illicit relationships, turn inward. Eventually, that leads to the grave, the asylum, prison. Proverbs 11:17. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. That's what it gets you, being wicked. Ecclesiastes 4:5 says, the fool foldeth his hands together and eateth his own flesh. That's just very strong ways of saying what we were just talking about. So consider that, and consider that when you're talking to people. I know it's hard sometimes, but sometimes you just want to tell somebody about them. You know, you just want to put them in their place and, you know, rip them. But you got to understand what you're dealing with and keep that in mind. Plus, you don't know what else is going on, you know. One fellow I was dealing with one time, and he was just nasty. And he was a homosexual, as they call them, sodomite. And he was just real, you know, always. And then I got to know him a little bit. I found out he had been abused. And he had internalized. Then he got AIDS. Then he got saved. And he got baptized in the church I was attending. And he died just a few months later. But hey, saved.
Amen.
That's what we have to offer. Be informed, pray, and act accordingly. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Any comments, questions before we move on, Doug?
Yeah, I was just wondering, that lady that was the Secret Service, what was her name?
Kimberly Cheadle.
Yeah. I wonder what her credentials are. I mean,
she's a woman.
I know what I'm saying. What was her credentials?
It's a good question. It's a good question, but you know why Biden hired her? Same reason he hired that last Supreme Court justice who couldn't define what a woman is.
And wants to hire another.
They can't define what a woman is, but they'll hire them. Dan over here?
I just heard him describe her today that she was, I guess, once with the Secret Service. I don't know just what is an agent. And then she was the head of security for PepsiCo, whatever. And then she went to
Singapore.
She knew how to protect her Frito-Lay.
I follow the Frito.
I didn't show the picture, but you know, there's a video of her. But that one lady that couldn't holster her gun and all that. And I said Sunday, I'll say it again, if I'm Donald Trump, I'm anybody, I want the Secret Service to be as tall as I am. And he had all these women down here, and his head was exposed.
Yeah.
That's not the way it's supposed to be, Darren.
We're talking more about the Donald Trump getting shot thing, and you brought up the roof, and it seems like some people don't bring up there's also a water tower just across from there.
I didn't mention that because I can't find any good information, and there's some conspiracy guys who are saying stuff, and I found out what they said wasn't true.
It looked like there was no one up there.
Yeah. Yeah, that water tower is the grassy knoll, as they say. Got to find out what the deal is with that. But the thing is if there was a shot coming from the water tower, it wouldn't have traveled the path that the bullet that hit his ear did. And so if there was somebody up there, that was one of the things one of the guys was saying, and I'm like, wait a minute, that the bullets didn't travel in that direction that hit anybody.
I don't know about someone being up there trying to shoot him from there, but... why wouldn't they have someone up? It's like the
hospital. Oh, yeah. I mean, there should have been someone on the roof of the glass factory, the water tower, and about a half dozen drones up there.
Yes.
Why weren't there drones up there? And the one cop said he put in the call, and he thought they were clearing the stage. He couldn't understand why after he put the call in, the stage wasn't clear. And that's what I'm telling you. It's not possible, folks.
Yeah.
You know, I don't put my name on conspiracy theories, unless there's something like Tower 7 on 9/11. There's a bunch of conspiracy theories that I don't buy into. But this ain't no conspiracy. The evidence is right there. The question is who did it, not what they did. We know what they did. Right?
I've worked with an ears, nose, and throat surgeon who also served in the military for a while. And he said, range, how close the shooter was, the bullet would have had to have hit something or nicked something to be that close to his ear and even have him so be conscious.
I don't agree with that. There are guys with equal or better credentials than him, but also the video evidence itself that there's no evidence that bullet ricocheted off anything. The news media tried to say that it hit the teleprompter and his ear was cut with glass. But there have been two or three people that I respect who have said things that I think are just totally stupid. Doesn't mean I think they're stupid. I just think it. People say things a lot of times and they don't think it through. And that's what one of the things... several people here Sunday, not necessarily stupid, but there was several people here talking about those snipers on the building behind him, and there are some reports that they weren't the ones who shot the guy. That the shot to kill the guy came from someone else. How many of you saw that? So we're still going to get a lot of information in the coming weeks about this, and then the question is, will it be like the JFK thing? They'll have a commission that'll come up with its own theory. Probably one bullet killed all those people, you know. That's what they did with JFK. What a single bullet theory. So anyway, the main thing for us to understand is that these are wicked times we're living in. We trust God. We don't trust man. And we look to God. I told you, I don't tell you who to vote for. I think you all can figure out who I'm going to vote for. I don't really have to say it. But my trust is not in him or anyone else. And I tell everybody, you vote for the best person, but don't get your expectations too high. Because it doesn't matter, it could be him. You know, I thought George W. Bush was going to turn out to be a good president. I was totally disappointed in him. Yeah, both Bushes. And so, but we would rather have someone like that than a total outright Marxist regime. I'll put it that way. All right. Well, with that, let's go to prayer, and then we'll get into the Bible study tonight. And ask Brother Darren if you would open Bible study prayer.
Lord, just thank you for preserving us this morning and giving us a good Bible teaching, a good church to be a part of. Just pray that you bless the service. Amen.
All right, we're in 1 Timothy 1, 9 to 11. Working our way verse by verse through chapter 1, and we left off where Paul was saying, the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. We talked about the twofold purpose of the law in this dispensation, one for society, the other to show men their need of a Savior. Go back and listen to that previous study if you missed that. So we're going to read verses 9 through 11. You read the odd with me, so start there with verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the gospel. Try it again. A bug just about flew up my nose. I'm sorry. Try it again. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Amen?
Amen.
Satanic little thing. Reading the Bible. Wow. Flew right at me like kamikaze. Anyway, we're going to review this list of lawbreakers and the subjects of law, basically, in verses 9 and 10, and then we're going to just close with a word on the glorious gospel. There are particulars that many never consider when reading through a list like this, and I want to tell you, I'm not going to get into, like, gruesome, or disgusting things. Trust me, as we talk about this, you might pick up a few things that you never considered before. Because to be honest with you, I mean, I won't ask you to say so, but if you're like me, a lot of times when I've read through this list, I just kind of buzz through it like a saw, buzzing through it. Mm-hmm. But these are subjects of law here in verses 9 and 10. It begins by saying, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. And that's the law's application to society and to those who are lost and need to know they need saved. And it goes on to say, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy. So now we're directing our focus on that moral question, the moral questions. And we just discussed most of that in the previous study, as I mentioned, that we should relate the specific sins listed here with the Ten Commandments, the law. And so let's first go back and look at that. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. I'll start reading while you turn there. It says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That blows the ecumenical movement out of the water, that blows the universalist teaching out of the water, that blows everybody out of the water except for Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, said Jesus. And so then it says, verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. There's not a period there. I always point that out because there's nothing wrong with the little kiddies here making a little, you know, clay art, making something that they'll bring up to you and say, oh, look, Daddy, and he's, oh, that's a nice looking horse. And they're like, that's a cat. You know? There's nothing wrong with that, paintings and all that, unless you then do what it says in verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. People, there are people who, like the Amish or some of the well-known groups, that don't allow any kind of art or anything like that. The temple, the tabernacle, there was art in those places. They had the oxen at the altar, and their hinder parts were all facing inward, and then their faces were outward. There were all kinds of things carved, cherubim and all that, and then almonds and all that kind of thing.
Pomegranates.
There was nothing wrong with those until people started worshiping them. You remember the bronze serpent? Moses set up and said, look and live. Believe it or not, a bunch of stiff-necked people didn't look. But those who did lived. Well, Hezekiah comes along, and what's he do? He destroys it because they're now worshiping that thing. Mm-hmm. He called it Nehushtan. I don't know what that means, but it sounds cool. Nehushtan. And destroy it. Well, why? Because they had taken something that God had used, but now they were worshiping it. That's what was wrong with it. So back to the Ten Commandments there, verse 6, he says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now look at verse 7. Let's read from verse 7 to 17. You read the odd with me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And this is really where Paul is picking up, as we see when we go back to our text. Verse 8 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Why the seventh day? Why don't we have church on Saturday? Because it's a different dispensation. Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. From that time, believers, including the apostles and Paul himself, began having church meetings on the first day of the week. And at no point in the New Testament are you commanded to have church on Sabbath day, seventh day. What we do still follow is, number one, the principle that we have rest in Christ. And we do follow the principle. I tell everybody, you should take a day off. God did. Back before he even established the law, God took a day off. I think it's a principle. Study the French Revolution. When they did, they outlawed the day off. Everybody started working 7 days. Next thing you know, drunkenness and insanity went through the roof. People started losing their minds, committing suicide, all kinds of things. So then they went back and gave everybody a day off, and it got better. Isn't that funny? How God's Word works. So I'll pick up verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Say amen.
Amen.
Those are all wonderful, true, and we should respect the law. The law is good. And the law has a purpose. That's what we talked about in our last study, the purpose of legal law and order in society. And this is what you approach people with. If you don't believe they're saved, approach them with the facts of the law and the fact that if you've broken any single point, you're lost and need to be saved. So that shows people their need of salvation. Now, back in our text, in 1 Timothy 1:9 there, after saying it's for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy, he says profane. That was that not taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That's what that's referring to. Profane, as pertaining to a man is profane, though there's a broader application of the word itself. And by the way, the Ten Commandments were the basic framework. But then God has what we could call a revised code. And that's after Exodus 20 and throughout the rest of the Pentateuch. God then lays down the groundwork and shows how these things apply. For example, we're going to talk about in a minute that thou shalt not kill doesn't apply to certain killing. See? But you don't know that if you don't read the whole Bible. And that's why you go out there and a lot of times they'll throw it in your face. Say, well, you're a Christian. You believe in capital punishment? You believe in war? You believe in police? Yes, yes, yes. Well, you're breaking the commandment. Thou shalt not kill. And then you have to try to explain it to them. And it's usually not well received. But that word profane is when he takes the name of God in vain or treats sacred things with abuse and irreverence. Now, put it this way. What's that mean, take God's name in vain, is to not just put the word damn after his name. That's one good example. But do you know, if you tell somebody that I swear to God, and then you lie, or you're in a court, we're going to talk about perjured persons, but in a court, you're swearing on a Bible, or at least affirming. Those are all examples of taking God's name in vain. But anytime you take God's name and put it on something false, false teaching, false religion, false gospel, all the false cults, they're profane. And so if you can apply that, as you go through the Bible, I just kind of copied and pasted this here, how many times the word profane, profaning, profaneness, all the same word in different forms, how many times they show up. It's interesting that almost two-thirds are in two books, Leviticus and Ezekiel. And that those are the books that deal a lot with the temple and the priesthood and the sacrifices and Israel. And so that's just an interesting little side there. But we have an example. Scripture with Scripture. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Hebrews 12:16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau.
Yep.
Who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Yep. See that? He didn't take God's name in vain in the sense that a lot of times everybody thinks it's putting the word damn at the end of God's name or whatever. Why, his birthright was sacred. And he just treated it like it was an important thing. I'm hungry. What good is that birthright if I starve to death? Like he was really going to starve to death. And so that's an example. I think a lot of Christians are wasting their time, wasting their lives, wasting the opportunities they have with their talents, and they're not using them for God's glory. And I think that's right in there with Esau. And that's just a little bit for us all to chew on. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, when you talked about swearing, I wound up in court a lot because of two people were paying on my
not your lifestyle,
my rental property and that type of thing. But What, when they ask you to swear on the Bible, I say no, I am going to affirm. I don't know if that's the way to do it, because the Bible says to swear not in heaven or in earth and all that kind of stuff.
No, I think that's the best way to, you know, if I were to have to do it, I would. I had to be sworn in a couple of times for different reasons, and I affirmed, you know. That just means you're giving them your word that you're going to tell the truth.
Yeah.
So much of modern science is profane. Science is knowledge. Knowledge of creation. Real science glorifies God. And when you take science to deny God, that's what Paul is talking about. We'll see when we come to chapter 6. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called.
Amen.
The Bible makes that connection with false science is profane. And again, because, I didn't do that, that wasn't me. Because real science will glorify God. Interestingly, this pertains to the first tablet. What we just read up to this point would be the first tablet of the Ten Commandments. From this point on, we deal with the second tablet. Just want to throw this in there. Matthew Henry said, quote, in this black roll of sinners, he particularly mentions breaches of the second table, duties which we owe to our neighbor. So when you think of the Ten Commandments, there's the first half of the commandments pertain to our relationship with God, the second half, our neighbor. And that is why Jesus said that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, upon these hang all the law and the prophets. That's why he said that. So, murderers and manslayers are next in our list. That pertains to the fifth and sixth commandments. And that would include abortion, infanticide, suicide. Yes. Suicide is murder. Self-murder. That's how it's described a lot of times. Criminal homicide, which means you killed somebody by intent, with malicious intent. Genocide, which is not what's happening in Gaza right now. Patricide is the technical term for killing your father. He says murders of fathers, murders of mothers. Matricide or matricide is killing one's mother. Parricide, if you see that word, is just a catch-all for killing any of your parents. Fratricide is killing a sibling. And of course, these are all, also there's involuntary, involuntary, and all that sort of thing. And manslaughter, you can do that on purpose in order to be found to have done it involuntarily. I mean, you remember in the Bible about the axe head comes off and flies and hits a guy and kills him. But if they find out that you hated that guy and you told people you were going to kill him, and they can find evidence that you rigged the axe to do that, changes everything. And for more of that, watch Matlock. And then the final word there is assassination. Kind of in the news as of the last week. But all those fall under murderers and manslayers that Paul was talking about there. Now, I just want to say this before we move on. Abortion is murder. And there's no getting around that. But there's a growing number of professing Christians denying that. Then it's, I just want to mention what we said earlier. Killing and self-defense, war, police action, or euthanizing animals does not apply here. I mentioned that. You don't have that thrown in your face. But you are allowed, and again, the Bible is clear. We don't have time to get into all the passages. In any of these things, if you have questions, certainly ask me. Send me a text or an email or whatever. I can send you the scriptures. We've discussed and studied these previously. We went through the book of Exodus verse by verse in an office study series. You can go watch that. Skip to chapter 20 on if you want to jump there or go through the whole book with us. But this is just a disclaimer that you need to study and and put in your heart and mind as you deal with people in these things. Then it says whoremongers. That's the seventh commandment. It says not to commit adultery. And, of course, that includes adultery, but it also includes fornication and prostitution. Pretty much all heterosexual acts outside of marriage. God intended for a man and a woman to get married. The marriage bed is undefiled. You should enjoy your marriage, to put it in a nice family way. Amen, amen. But if you try to enjoy that kind of relationship outside of marriage, that's where the diseases, that's where the hurt, the violence, domestic violence, so-called unwanted pregnancies, abortions, and on it goes, all come out of violating that biblical ideal for marriage. And then it says, them that defile themselves with mankind, that also pertains to the commandment against adultery, but this is about non-heterosexual activity. Sodomy, according to the Bible, the world calls it homosexuality. But if you want to know what else is involved, well, for one thing, just look up what all the alphabet letters mean in the LGBTQ community. It's all part of the sodomite sin. All them that defile themselves with mankind. Any sexual activity outside of marriage is defilement. But when it's beyond heterosexual, it becomes, the Bible calls it an abomination. You have these well-meaning Christians say, well, all sin is the same. No, it's not. I can guarantee you that blasphemy, in God's eyes, is worse than some other sins. If you don't believe me, you're not reading your Bible. It's clear. There are some sins. It's not that sin isn't sin. It's sin is sin. But there are some sins that are a fist in God's face. And homosexuality is one of them. You've taken, as a man or woman, and you're outside of marriage, you're perverting his ideal. But then you make it a man, a woman, you have taken it to a whole other level of perversion and blasphemy. Johnny?
I think the way I've found to look at it is all sin is sin, but the biggest difference between all the sins is the consequences down here in particular.
Well, I think you just have to focus wrong. Okay. The focus isn't the consequence, the focus is with God. What does God say? And when you talk about certain sins, God says it's a sin. It's wrong. But then other sins, he says it's an abomination. Those are his words, see? Yeah. Because I know people who committed heterosexual sin and ended up worse off than homosexuals that I know. The consequences vary. It's just according to circumstances and such. But the issue is, what does God say? And you go back and read what God has to say about sin. He hates all sin. But there are some sins he gives a special category to, of abominations. And we have to get into that more some other time, but that's that. By the way, if you want some details about what I'm talking about, just go read Leviticus 18. Yeah. And you'll see there, it's an ugly chapter.
Amen.
And it's everything in that chapter is happening in the United States of America right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And God says it's an abomination. Now, we're about done here with this list, but men stealers, that's related to the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. But men stealers, of course, kidnapping is our word for it. But it's, how have you heard of the impressment that used to be a thing? Watch anything like Brian was talking about the John Adams miniseries, and there's Sons of Liberty and some other things where you'll see this kind of thing. But we saw an episode of The Big Valley not too long ago where what they did was is they'd see a young, healthy guy like Matt or Darren or Johnny. He'd probably walk right past most of us, but I'd pick Jim. He'd be one, I think. But the rest of them, Dan, yeah, Dan. But I don't know about the rest of you, but anyway, they see it, and they would take you and basically kidnap you, put you on the ship, and you'd serve 2 to 4 years. Your family wouldn't know what happened to you a lot of times. And when the British did it, they would send word and say, yeah, we got your guy, we'll see you in a couple of years. And leave the family to fend for themselves. It happened to thousands of men impressed for service on ships over a period of several hundred years. But also, forced labor, same thing. Child trafficking, we've heard a lot of in recent years, and slave trade in general. I made a slide because I didn't want to forget to say this. The entire modern slave trade, I mean in the last 500 years or so, was a wicked sin. You say, well, amen, amen. But what I mean is, from the very beginning, not just because slavery is bad, the very means of getting slaves was men stealing. Kidnapping, what we call it today. And, by the way, just for the record, it wasn't a bunch of white guys going over there and stealing black people and other people. Actual tribal wars in Africa, and when they'd win, they would take the other tribe and sell them to the Muslims and the English and for a while to the Americans. The whole thing. Because you had Americans, including mostly in the South, of course, who would defend slavery. They would defend the slavery in the Old Testament, which isn't slavery. It's servanthood. It's being a bondservant. That's totally different from what slavery was in America.
Amen.
In Israel, you couldn't be enslaved by being stolen. The only way for you to be enslaved was by becoming indebted. And you would work off a debt, and every 7 years, free. Didn't happen to any slaves here. They didn't let anybody free after 7 years. Didn't let them work off a debt. Only there were hundreds of people who on their deathbed made arrangements for their slaves to go free, and it was their conscience. But it wasn't because of the system. The system was filthy from start to finish. Slavery was wicked. But there were just as many white slaves as there were black slaves. That's another thing that you won't hear said in the United States of America. I don't know why. It's a fact.
The Irish
among others. But the Irish had a big history of being enslaved. Mostly, a lot of times, I think, the majority anyway, by the Muslims. So, there's a lot there. But let's look at Exodus 21:16 real quick. I just want you to see this. You might want to mark this in your Bible for any discussions about this in the future. But Exodus 21:16. If you're there, read that. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death.
Amen.
Every one of those slave traders should have been executed. And the slaves set free. If I'm not refuting what you've heard me say before. Our laws in this land were based on biblical law. And you go to Blackstone, Magna Carta, etc., was heavily influenced by God's law. But the people in this country, the majority, have always been unregenerate, God-rejecting, wicked people. That's a fact. And if the people in this country had been God-fearing, Bible-believing Christians, then every time a ship with slaves would come over here, they'd hang the people responsible, and they'd send the ship back where it came from.
Amen.
And they didn't do it. And finally, you're liars. The ninth commandment, of course. Gossips. Gossip is not saying, did you hear what happened to Matt the other day? He smashed his thumb. Isn't that a shame? Well, you gossip. You shouldn't be talking about Matt. He's not around here. That's not gossip.
Gossip is talking about somebody in a way that is dishonest, and you're slandering them, and you're attempting basically what we would call assassination of character. That's gossip. It's a dishonesty behind it. Liars, slanderers, embezzlers. You know, embezzlers usually put false information in the books. Swindlers that lied to you to sell you something. What was it Brian was talking about downstairs? All these people, would you like to sell your home? We buy homes for cash. Swindler. False teachers. There it is again. They're lying to you. That's why they're false. Satan was the original false teacher. Genesis 3. And he lied. Amen?
Amen.
Most politicians, the Fed, the IRS, the UN. Okay, we don't need to get on that. And then perjured persons is connected with the liars. Again, false witnesses under oath. And, well, folks, there were a lot of oath swearing in the Bible. And Numbers, there's chapters about it. And how if my wife swore an oath, I had the ability to ixnay it. But if I allowed it, she was held to it. And if I had a daughter, and I think anyone under a certain age, you know, you could say, no, we're not doing that. But once they got a certain age, they could make an oath that the lady wasn't married, or if it was a man, they were held to it. Oaths were important, but when a society has a bunch of people making oaths and they don't keep their word, society is in trouble. And that's why we're in trouble today. And this could apply to the 10th commandment, to covet. Because that's a motive for perjury a lot of times, a motive for false oaths. So again, now we go to the end of verse 10. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, you're without excuse. You can pretend not to know right from wrong, but you're without excuse. The law constrains and convicts of sin. And that's why then we end up with our understanding is in accordance with the gospel, as Paul calls it, the glorious gospel there in verse 11. The glorious gospel of the blessed God, without which we are damned. If it were not for that glorious gospel, we would have no hope. But that's why you see people without the gospel living the way they do, without hope, because they don't have any hope without Christ. That gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our what?
Sins.
According to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures.
Amen.
That's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek, Romans 1:16. And Paul then makes this comment. We're going to look into this more in our future studies. Which was committed to my trust. He wasn't the only one preaching the gospel. But he was given the revelation of the gospel of grace originally. And given the revelation of the mysteries included, we talked about recently, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Before this dispensation, that wasn't a thing. And so Paul was given the mysteries and given the revelation that then he shares in his epistles. And yeah, there were others preaching the gospel, but Paul said, this is my gospel. That should be your attitude. My gospel. Just like, yeah, if you got the right Jesus, I got the right Jesus, we have the same Jesus. But don't you like to think of him as my Jesus?
Amen.
You got the Savior, you have the Savior, I have the Savior, but he's my Savior.
Amen.
And we should think of the gospel in that same intimacy, that same love for the gospel that we talk about Jesus himself. And we'll close by reading Paul's other comments on this. Go to Romans chapter 2. This is how we're going to close it up. Romans 2, 11 through 24. You can read the even with me, so I'll begin with verse 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness in their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Isn't that great? Verse 17, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou, therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. That is a text that goes with our text in 1 Timothy. I encourage you to use that method of scripture with scripture to get the idea of what Paul is talking about in his letter to Timothy. We're going to leave off there. We have much more to say about it in future studies. I just want to say this, that glorious gospel, that's what it, the more you read about the law, you can appreciate the perfect law as it is, and you can appreciate that we've all sinned. And you can appreciate then, have a greater appreciation for the gospel, have a greater appreciation for being saved in spite of yourself. In spite of myself, not because of myself. And it just makes you love Jesus that much more when you realize how wonderful and gracious he is. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time and this amazing book, this letter that you moved Paul to write with inspired words to Timothy so that the rest of us could stand in those shoes and read what you have to say to us. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit who helps us understand. Thank you for these folks who love your word and all who love your word and that we can read with and study with and discuss these things. And Lord, thank you most of all for that glorious gospel. Thank you for the free salvation that you made available to all who believe, to your praise, your glory, to your honor, you alone who are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know Jesus loves you?
Yeah.
Yep.
A couple of you know. That's good.
I know it.
Let's sing about it. Stand if you can. hearts. We've got a couple online sending theirs in, so we'll be sure and lift those up. As we say goodbye to the onliners on three, one, two, three, see you here, there, or in the air.